Good afternoon. I'm here to talk to you. We've made some assumptions that whether we call it health reform or not, or we have an official word for it, that we are going to see some changes in our health care delivery models. I also have no financial relationships to disclose. And I'm going to start out by talking. I'm going to talk about a particular study and present my study team here, colleagues at UCSF, and a website for more materials. So I think we all know this, but just to review, what are the drivers of changing care models? Because with health care reform, in the law, outside the law, just what's driving us to look at new care models? Certainly our demographics, the population, aging, you know, living longer, more chronic illness, more cultural diversity, primary care workforce shortages, whether or not that you agree with that or how much you agree with it, certainly some challenges in terms of the way that we provide care in traditional models, cost issues, cost pressures, and deinstitutionalization, sometimes used in the mental health realm, but I'm talking about it just sort of aging at home as well. So sort of staying out of institutions and trying to live out your life at home, which is a whole other workforce implication. This is a project we did that was funded by the Hitachi Foundation, and they're not necessarily focused in healthcare. This came about to us in looking at careers, as we said, pioneer employers. They were looking at career development in certain jobs where there were growth opportunities and opportunities to present careers to entry-level workers. So the medical assistant piece came up with our saying, this is a big career, this is a big opportunity, and Hitachi sort of fitting it into their role sort of career development. So this was about expanding the role of medical assistants, and I'm going to go into medical assistants in a minute here for those of you not familiar with them, that included a focus on the career as well as the care model. So I'm going to be talking about both things a little bit today. Working conditions, career development, and then clinical functions and outcomes of the organization. This was a study we did with the case study approach. We went to 14 sites across the country. I don't expect you to be able to read these from there, but we basically looked at a variety of models across the country. This gives you a better picture, literally, of the kinds of places we went. Very, very rural. You know, rural West Virginia, this is New York City, this is a Kaiser model, Alaska. No, I'm sorry, that's Alaska. This is Utah, Maine, Northern Maine. So a variety of ambulatory care practices across the country. Who are medical assistants? Anyone ever heard of medical assistants? Okay, so this is a little bit of a review and perhaps a primer for those of you who haven't. This is my one slide, sort of all the labor statistic facts. A very large category of employees primarily in outpatient care, primarily in primary care, although also in specialty care, about 500,000 and growing. One of the fastest growing occupations in the country, if you look at Bureau of Labor Statistics information. Largely female, pretty diverse. Often that diversity comes with bilingual abilities, which are used on the job for translation. Very short-term training and a very unregulated training could be, you know, 3 to 6 months to a year or two to get the associate degree. Little regulation of practice. This is part of the reason why it's growing so much. They primarily practice under delegatory authority of the medical boards in the state, so not certified, not licensed, and little training, so opportunities to grow. Wages of about $13, $14 an hour, although that certainly varies by geographic area and whether or not they're unionized. The traditional medical assistant role, think of it, it's also called back office, front office. For those of you who've ever had a visit with a primary care provider, this is the person who escorted you to the room, took your blood pressure, recorded your weight, asked you which you were there, disappeared, came back at the end, handed you some papers, et cetera. We're also seen at the desk checking you out, perhaps organizing your referrals, et cetera. So trained to do that kind of front office administrative piece, back office clinical piece. What's changing with this? Well, with this new care model and a team, more of a team approach, are enhanced clinical roles. And these are some of the names we saw for roles as we looked around the country. Patient navigator, immunization specialist, health coach, diabetes coordinator, care coordinator. All sort of clinically enhanced roles for these workers. In addition to that, some of the leadership positions, this is not an easy career ladder to another position, but administrative positions to be, you know, lead medical assistant or lead MA for the whole practice, coordinate more of the administrative functions. Why did these sites do this innovation? Some of the things I talked about earlier, but in addition, the need for more more practitioners in the practice. These are jobs that way back when nurses or licensed vocational nurses used to do. Now they're not available. They're too costly. So the need for more support personnel and practices. The other reason they did these innovations is to keep these folks, keep them happy. As you can imagine, that back office, front office thing with very little interaction was kind of boring, so lots of turnover. This was a way to sort of enhance the career and improve retention. Also, issues of quality enhancement, the need for better coordinated care. And these are folks in a good role to coordinate care. The EHR, the electronic health record, makes a lot of this possible with the recording of information so that you can do reminder calls, you can send reminder visits, you can have the medical assistant look at the record before you leave or before you come to the and say, guess what, before you come, maybe you should go get that blood checked or get the retinal exam or get the foot check or whatever so that we don't waste your time and ours at this visit. I'm going to go through a couple of case studies and then sort of wrap up with some of the major findings. This is High Plains in Colorado, a very rural community health center. What pushed them to do this, and by the way, when we picked these centers, we actually did some snowball research and did a lot of web searching. We have a list of about 200 potential practices that we could have looked at that are using some elements of this. The piece that really narrowed it down for us a bit was the career development piece. There are lots of models in the country that are developing the role of the MA and using it in different ways, but they're not doing it for MA career development. They're doing it more for role development in the clinic. And we had to have some piece of the MA career development in there to choose it. So they did this. I would say the overdriving factors were efficiency and staff retention. And as you can see there, those were some of the key things that they were struggling with. What did this model do? They increased the number of MAs. They increased their training. They did some cross-training. And they continued to train and, work on the atmosphere for medical assistants. Outcomes. We tried to measure outcomes at each of these centers in terms of staff satisfaction, patient satisfaction, and any clinical outcomes, and cost outcomes as well. We had a variety of successes in that and didn't get all of those from each center, but we got a few things. So here we had an increase in the MA career role with a wage increase, waiting times reduced, provider productivity increased, and some cost savings that they could document. This is kind of on the opposite side of the country in a very different model. This is the Unite Center in New York City. This is a group that was formed to take care of the garment workers. And it's now other unions are receiving care there. They had, I'd say their drivers were really new leadership and the driving forces of that leadership to try a new model. They tried something called the Ambulatory Intensive Care Unit, which had been written about by Arne Milstein and some others, and had an opportunity to write some grants and sort of experiment with that model. And they also had the opportunity to bill some capitation for these enhanced services. And again, the EHR implementation was a facilitator for that. What they did is intensive training. They took their MAs kind of offline for this training. They devoted a person to actually write a curriculum and did very intensive training over a period of time. They would actually close down clinical care services where people, while people were trained. And they have that training ongoing as well as mentoring the huddle. Anyone ever heard of the huddle? The huddle is used a lot now. I'm assuming it came from football. But where everybody gathers and makes a plan for the day, which is, you know, why it took us so long to figure that out, I'm not sure. But let's sort of review what's coming today and make a plan for who needs what and whatever. But also using that for training opportunity for the staff. You know, Mrs. X is coming in, she has whatever, this is what she needs, this is what we know about that condition, et cetera. So what did we find from there? Again, career boosts. They developed the role of the health coach, which was a very interesting role, and also a floor leader and a team leader. They found reduced wait times and visit times as well. And they also they have a paper published in Health Affairs a couple of years ago with some improvements with some diabetes markers and some reduced costs. What's the MA perspective on this? I mean, this is obviously not hard sometimes to prove is good for the care model, but what about the MA? They generally liked it. You know, it's an enhancement to their role. They feel part of the team. We kept hearing that. We actually can communicate with the physician/primary care provider. You know, I feel like I'm delivering better care and I know what I'm doing and I'm more integrated with things. So for the most part, they liked it. Even though it required a lot of training, sometimes it required them to come in their off time and take courses. And I think it's harder work. So what do we know about this from a career development perspective? The current MA training programs don't prepare anybody for this kind of model. They're very structured to, you know, focus on the administrative staff and those clinical functions and the sort of advanced training role development is not part of the traditional programs. And, you know, perhaps not surprisingly so, they're very intensive sort of quick programs to get someone up and running. So all of these models required additional training, ongoing training, mentoring. To sort of fit this role in there. As I said, the emphasis on career development was also an important piece. We were looking for that in addition to the sort of the clinical care model. What does it do for these workers to advance and develop their career? The medical assistant doesn't have a natural ladder to another career. Many of them don't get degrees. They don't even often get college credits unless they've gone to an institution that's got credits that leads them to something else. So they don't, it doesn't lead normally to medicine or nursing or something that's easy to see. So to go back and enhance their careers takes a lot of work and a lot of time. The major findings, I think, that, you know, practice models and roles are certainly shifting and will continue to shift. You know, health reform sort of helps that along. But it's going to happen anyway because we just have to do, you know, give care with different models. Restructuring reimbursement makes it possible and easier. And the team model is certainly something that we will continue to focus on. And I think that comes with the need to increase recognition for the frontline staff and their contribution to the practice. We think that the models and templates and programs are quite replicable across sites. How do you pay for it? Big issue, right? A couple of folks at these sites stressed they had to have capitation for case management. Case management costs a lot of time and money, and you can't build that. It's not built into the reimbursement structure in many models. So if it's a fee-for-service type of reimbursement, a couple of the models added on capitation to whatever payment structures they had, a per member per month kind of thing for case management, and that's how they paid for this. Medicare Advantage plans. That was one of the models we saw with their reimbursement structure. At that point, they had some resources to do this. If they could cut back a little, they were concerned about continuing to do that. There was some grant money in this, which means, you know, short-term, not renewable, but there was some grant money in this for training and for curriculum development. So once that goes away, how do they sustain it? There were some demonstrated cost savings in terms of productivity, even, you know, as opposed to these pretty minor, relatively speaking, wage increases, with increased retention, which lowers recruitment costs, or savings there, and some demonstrated decrease in ER use and hospitalization. So our next steps really are to figure out if this is something that can be disseminated. This is a quote from one of the small rural places who said, you know, we always come up with these good ideas and nobody pays attention to us or listens to us. And so we think that facilitating replication of this is an important point. So I want to acknowledge the Hitachi Foundation for funding this and supporting it. And our next step is to really sort of figure out whether this can be disseminated in a demonstration project sort of model piece. Thank you.
We have time for some questions, and I'd like to just point out that the medical assistant model that Dr. Chapman was speaking about is really very much connected to the medical home model of healthcare delivery, which the Affordable Care Act explicitly requires for both Medicare and for Medicaid programs around the country. And so there is an increasing demand for integrated medical care, team practice. That's also really one of the intended effects and impacts of the accountable care organizations, which are supposed to be developed as well out of this. Any questions for Dr. Chapman? Yes, sir.
Dr. Chapman, Gus Conrad from the University of Washington in Seattle. I'm curious, with the change in the work of the MAs, how do you evaluate the impact of that? Because so often, as the moderator pointed out, it comes along with a larger change. It's not like the patient-centered benefit home. Any take on whether you're starting to see some of the places that have implemented it, cost savings that are pretty clear-cut, or outcome changes, or patient satisfaction changes that you can attribute to this kind of intervention?
So the question was, are there specific outcomes that can be attributed to the medical assistant model, the developed medical assistant model, related to patient outcomes, cost savings, or other aspects?
I think you've hit a very important point there, and it was something that we found that was the hardest part of this, which was to document that and tease out that part, because it is an integrated. And they all start with different places, too. So, you know, are they after cost savings? Are they after improving workforce retention? Are they after improved turnaround time or things like that? So there are all these metrics that kind of line up and are difficult to tease out. I would say we got more process stuff than real clinical outcomes, and I think that is the next step, and the next step that should be asked in terms of, is this something to disseminate, is how to more rigorously study these to sort of tease that out.
We have time for one more question. Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm a primary care internist in New York. Thanks very much. I have a really good MA in my office who's done an outstanding job. One area, though, I think she could use more training, and then maybe absent of the training that she gets over the few months that she has before coming to work, for me, is the history taking and those sorts of details. She's great with the technical aspects of things, but that sort of nuanced history taking piece is a little bit missing that I am going to need to have to take time, I think, to help train her to a bit more with. Any thoughts about that?
So the question really relates to an encouragement that the MA model, the medical assistant model, have some enhanced training related to taking medical histories from patients.
That's a good point, and I agree with you. We found, and I've done numerous other studies on MAs, sort of looking at this this whole variability in training, just as an aside, you know, this is, we call them billboard occupations because all of the private schools got the billboards up and are, you know, bringing people in for really short turnaround courses that have mixed quality at best. So there are a lot of pieces missing, and almost all of the pieces missing that fit with these models. You know, being a part of the team, those front office customer service skills, the front office skills, how to treat that patient as your own patient that you're invested in, including getting a good history, et cetera. It literally used to be, follow me to the room, sit down, take your blood pressure, maybe I'll tell you what it is, maybe I won't, I leave, that's it. So we have a long way to go in training.